Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
You watch soccer?
That's a great combo.
Like a nervous tick?
Yeah. Like if there's like a bad pass or something, I'll just go.
You do it a little different. I do it like this with cats. Like, but you're doing like a almost like more of a click. Mine's like putting a little bit of like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little squirrel. But I do notice myself, there's a bad pass in a soccer game, being like, no, like, come on. Come on, boys.
Yeah, dude, soccer's fun as hell to watch.
Well, the problem is, too, I get so used to watching English soccer by myself. Like last weekend, right? Like, first of all, you can go to a bar at 4:30 in the morning, but they're not serving booze.
Do you wear one of those puffy jackets and a suit?
But it's just funny, like, it's 4:30 in the morning. So it's not like I'm going to bite, like Baird's an Arsenal fan. But it's not, like... this weekend's 9:30. We might watch somewhere like 4:30. I'm not gonna be like, you want to come over at 4:30 and watch a game?
Yeah, and plus he works at like 6.
Yeah,
so you're like, you, hey, I know you're
when
tired.
When you watch
as well.
A certain sport enough, I don't realize the weird tics I have watching it until like I went out and watched a game with like Gregor and Thorpe, and I was like, oh yeah, no one else is doing that.
Dude, I didn't even notice little stuff like that just living alone. Like you'll like forget like, oh, people don't do that or whatever. Like I don't know. I feel like when people come over and just like evaluate my lifestyle, there will be like weird little things where I'm like, oh, I didn't realize everyone doesn't do that. Like,
yeah.
Like the squatty potty took some heat the other day.
What?
And like, yeah. And then like, I also realized like, so in my place, my bathroom doesn't have a sink in it. Like, I don't really have a kitchen. I don't have a bathroom. There's one sink between the two of them. It's kind of a weird setup. But you walk out of the bathroom and then the sink is right there.
Yeah.
And then there's like a microwave and whatnot. And so I didn't realize I didn't have hand soap there. And it just like, I don't know, dude, I'm a savage. Like, I have a bidet and then I get in the shower. So I didn't really think about it. And so... like, this chick just put me on blast for it. And I'm just like, ah, like, I have no answer for you. I just, you know, I've been out of civilization for a long time.
Yeah.
Been living the alley cat lifestyle. We do things our own way in the streets.
Yeah, it's like toilet paper. Like, we taped this on Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. I could have one roll left. And I could stretch her out till Thursday or something,
oh,
right?
Yeah, no problem.
But you add in, like, one female or, like, Matt's girlfriend coming by. It's like, I got to go get toilet paper.
It's all gone. It's all gone.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo. The podcast, episode 245. What's up, it's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'll be hosting this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me, actually, he's to the right of me. He's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Legal proceedings began this week in Ted's widely publicized public nuisance case. As initial briefs were filed in King County Superior Court, shares slid nearly 26 cents. Early in 2019, the incident sparked outrage amongst fans and supporters alike, as Alan Stone had no right to kick that beer. Is the longtime funny man facing potential jail time? We'll find out next week.
Alan Stone. We're going to have to get him in. All right, back there on the wheels of steel, getting the whole studio set up. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
Yeah, the Alan Stone thing, I kind of forgot how funny that was, and a couple of people brought it up. I was like, and apparently he is like the nicest guy in the world.
Dude, I hope to somewhere in an alternate universe, he's on a podcast talking shit about you.
Right? The guy at the Seahawks game.
And he's like, then I found out it was this guy, Ted Smith, on the radio.
Listen to last week's episode. You'll be all caught up on the Alan Stone drama. Yeah, we'll get him in one day. We'll interview him.
That'd be tight.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Before he comes super famous and there's like no chance of it. And then he'll be like, remember that time he kicked over my beer? The brush with greatness, man. Brush with greatness.
Still have that beer.
I still have
right
that.
There on the wall.
You could pick up any plastic cup and be like, that was the cup.
The cup, though, man.
Like,
the
anybody... cup. Yeah, his foot touched it. It ran all over the ground.
It's funny that you talk about faking the cup, because I was just watching a thing about people who fake signatures, you know, autographs for a living.
Oh,
crazy,
no.
Man. Crazy.
Really?
Huge world. Yeah.
For a living?
For a living. Like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
What?
The dude was doing like Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa balls that were numbered like the day after they would hit the home run. Gave zero, I'm not going to say.
Well, he could have.
Believe me, he gave zero f**ks, man. Like, and then the FBI investigated him and it all came crashing down.
Whoa.
Yeah, I didn't know the FBI dealt with forgeries.
Yeah.
So.
Did he have to give all the money back?
Oh, he went to prison.
No kidding.
Yeah, man, it's a felony for sure.
Huh. You hear that, kids? Don't forge your parents' signatures. It's a felony.
Yeah, for all the kids who are listening to this, I'm pretty sure that ship sailed.
Yeah, that's a better point. If you're a child, turn this off.
If you're getting your parenting advice from Ted, Matt, and I, probably time to change channels.
Did you try and forge your parents' signatures, Ted?
I did not.
Oh, I did that multiple times.
Yeah, but I feel
never
like...
Never went well.
No offense. I feel like your high school... Like, your high school stories, that doesn't shock me. But you know me. Like, I was a terrible student, but I would get in trouble. I tried to hide the... what do you call those things? You get them, like, if you have bad grades halfway through the quarter, they send you a deficiency.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that was the thing, but I got home before my parents. So I had, like, deficiencies in 5 out of 6 classes. So I hit him, and then one night my brother found him, and I woke up at like midnight. They're like, get up. Like,
no.
God damn it.
One time I tried to, it was the first time I got a D on a test, and I just was like, I'm not bringing this home. So I put it in the recycling bin of my classroom, and my teacher found it and called my mom.
Damn. Dude, that's the thing, man. I was listening
foresight.
To it. God. Like you hiding that thing. I was listening to this podcast, and they were talking about how, basically how like if you... You know, like the ancient like mythologies with like dragons and knights and how dragons are always guarding gold.
All right.
So basically they were talking about how like if you have this if you have like something you're supposed to do and you don't do it, it's like a little dragon that's living in your house, and like it's like the more you ignore it, like filing your taxes or something like that, like the bigger it gets and the bigger it gets, the bigger the problem becomes until you like finally look at it and you're like, oh, now I got to deal with this thing. And it was like, there's this good parable about basically how like you shouldn't put stuff off, and like that's a perfect example where like it would have been like kind of bad, and then you made it way worse.
Made it way worse.
Like,
yeah.
The middle of the night. Yeah, there's a lot of things like that. It's like unpaid bills is what I think of, but there's a ton of things like I know I should do it, or having that conversation or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and it's easy. There's just some, like, I do it all the time, man. Like, there's certain things where, like, oh, yeah, I got to pay that tomorrow. And it's not like I don't have the money, but it's just, I'm just like, I don't know. Sometimes I just don't stop down to, like, physically cut a check.
Yeah. Dude, totally. Mine, I had to get a dentist appointment, and, like, I was just like, I need to, like, bite this bullet now before it gets worse. I had a little chip on the back of one of my teeth.
All right.
And I went in, like, of course, no problem. He's like, yeah, man, I'll just fill it. He's doing it. On Thursday, but it was just like, I need to take care of this now before like 2 years from now it's like infected and all gross, and it's like a, you know,
yeah,
real,
it's like
issue.
A giant issue.
Yeah, things like that just snowball.
Yeah, but I will say sometimes, and Matt knows, I just kind of went through this with him on our PN thing, but sometimes too, like, I think there's like, when it comes to like conversations, I think there's conversations you should have, but then also like, and this will go into what I'm thinking for the theme this year, or the mantra. But like, being right all the time doesn't mean you have to have that whole conversation with somebody.
I'm confused what you mean.
I mean, like sometimes people are like, well, like, you can have a conversation with, like, I like, how do you decide what line is worth having like a serious conversation? Because you're afraid it's going to, if you don't. And I've been on the other end of this where people didn't want to have a conversation, and then it turns into a giant thing,
yeah.
Right? But then also, I've been guilty of the other one where I'll make kind of a big deal out of something. It's like, was that worth it at the time?
Not out of a molehill?
To make a big deal out of that. And it's like, I don't know. That's where I struggle. Like, I don't know what that line is, because I don't want to ignore it. But also, like, there's sometimes I'm just like, man, I know I'm kind of, not kind of, like, where I'm coming from are my feelings and they're right. But like, oh, I just don't think I should say that right now.
It's funny that you say that, because I was thinking about that as it relates to you like 2 days ago. There was like a picture up, I don't even know how I saw it, of you and Taryn just like both huge smiles, like, you know, like hugging each other, whatever, like laughing. And I was just like, man, like to think about that one night that we went into the cast and he was like so worried about something he had said upsetting her, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're clearly great friends. And so like, yeah, that just makes me laugh, like the mountain out of molehill thing. I do it all the time too. Like I'm pretty high in neuroticism. And so just like, as long as I'm like away from the problem, it gets like bigger and bigger. And then as soon as I get closer, it's like, oh yeah, no worries. Like that person literally forgot about it a second after it happened, you know?
Yeah. But I'm saying, I don't know what that line is.
Yeah.
Well, I think the line, it changes from person to person and situation to situation. There's no right. one answer there. And that makes it difficult. And even when there is, I don't know, it could, in a lot of situations, I feel like there is no right or wrong answer. It's just like, if you're going to do it, there's going to be consequences of that. Some may be good, some may be bad. If you don't do it, there will be consequences of that. Some will be good, some will be bad.
Dude, I'll say this. I feel like you can feel it in your stomach, like in your gut, your second brain or whatever. I feel like you kind of know when you like should do something and you're avoiding it. I'm with you.
Yeah, I would say in a personal sense, yeah, that's true a lot of times. When I'm talking to friends or people about doing, you know, about this sort of stuff, and they're asking for advice, a lot of times I'm like, there's no right answer here. Like, it's what you choose to do and what happens as a result of that that's going to make this thing reality, you know? Like, there's, it doesn't, you know, sometimes there is a clear right or wrong answer. Sometimes there is a gut feeling. But as the outside person that people are bouncing ideas off of, I'm always like, I don't know where that line is. I don't know if this is.
I'm with you. I kind of do the same thing when I give people business advice. It's like, well, it kind of depends on which path you want to take here, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, kind of turning it back around to let them make their own choice.
Sometimes people just want an answer from you. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Strawberries.
It's on you.
That's what you want for breakfast.
Yeah.
Right. Blueberries, blend them up. You don't want to eat them. But they're good flavor.
Blueberries, 6 push-ups, and an oatmeal.
Squats. So,
all your problems in life can be answered by one word. Squats.
Squats. Yeah, all right. So last year we had diligence. Now, I'm just throwing this one out here. This is just my idea. Obviously, there's some personal experience, but kind of piggybacking on what we're just saying, sometimes I feel like, and I talk for a living, so I talk a lot. So I decided one idea was I was going to do L&L this year. I was going to listen and learn.
It's not bad.
That was the only thing I came up with so far. I was like, you know what? I'm always talking. Like, maybe I should just shut the fuck up and just listen to other people.
It's funny that you said that, because that's what you said to me like a year ago. We were talking about, I think it was somebody's email who sent in or something like that, but we were saying like what goes into someone being good at talking, and I was saying reading a lot, and you were saying being a good listener, and I was like, yeah. Oh, great call. So anyway.
Yeah,
I like that idea, because number one, it's something I've been working to improve on, but number two, the reason I've been working to improve on it largely, well, a lot of things Cobb's said over the years, but particularly is seek first to understand, then be understood.
That is also definitely not mine.
I know. I attribute like 50+ great quotes to you on a regular basis.
None of them are
and I know. Okay. And I get corrected all the time. I'm like, well, my friend Cobb taught me it. So
yeah, well,
in your defense, you're not saying it's Cobb's original quote. You're just saying he taught it to
you. Yeah, I definitely make it clear. And then a lot of times people say, he's not the original person. I go, I know, but I can't keep track of the individual people of all these awesome things that he's told me.
I'm on it. Yeah. You outsource that to me.
Yeah.
To keep track of the people.
And there's a ton of quotes like that throughout history, I think. Like, I think there's some famous quotes that get attributed to, like, one historical person, and then somebody else can go, like, actually, this person said it before him. It's like,
oh, and it's worse with the internet.
Yeah.
Because people just put up a guy's face and say a quote, and it's like, oh, well, that's who said it.
Dude, DJ Khaled gets a lot of quotes misattributed to him. Weirdly, from the hip-hop world. Because he just, like, he has a way of saying it, man, where it's like, he owns that now. But,
yeah. Bless up. You played yourself.
You played yourself. That one was not originally his.
No.
Yeah.
But he did kind of bring it back and make it as mainstream as it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I agree with that. Wait, so, what were we just talking about?
Learn and listen.
Oh, listen and learn.
Listen. Yeah. So I was going to say learn. The distinction I wanted to make was between listening and hearing people. Because I feel like for me, I always listen really literally to like the nuts and bolts of what the person is saying.
What movie is that from?
I don't know, but not
isn't that like
with
Wesley
their sub-communicating.
Snipes?
That's the tax dodger dude, right? I like Wesley Snipes.
Well, he's also but in White Men Can't Jump, like, right? Like Billy Hoyle's the white guy.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
And I think they're listening to Jimi Hendrix, and he's like, you're listening to Jimi, but you don't hear Jimi.
Oh, that's dope, dude. What's the other one that's like that? White Men Can't Jump, and then The Air Up There. That's the one I was thinking of. You ever seen that movie?
I don't know that I have.
No?
Wow. Nope.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah, listening versus hearing. And instead of listening on a literal level, because that's what I usually do, which sometimes, okay, so right before we started, we were talking about like how women can be a little bit chaotic to deal with from a masculine perspective. So, yeah, listening. So I always listen literally, like what they're saying, like, can you bring me food? But what I should be hearing is like, I want to know that someone's like, you know, looking out for me and taking care of me. And so it's like, I don't know. So sometimes like not hearing gets the wires crossed with like what you think, what they say they want versus what they actually want.
Yeah, right. Well, it's tougher too with chicks, right? Because there's certain times, right? Sorry. I mean, it just is, all right? I didn't want to get up.
Mike picked up Cobb, spitting his water back into his cup. That was awesome.
I just think there's sometimes I'll talk to Joe or Cobb, and I can literally just say, like, hey, man, like, I'm just ranting here. Right. Like, I know, or venting, right? Like, I'm just venting to you. Like, I'm not asking you, because I know, like, your brains are working. Like, I don't want an answer. Like, I'm just venting. Whereas I feel like I have definitely dated women before where it's like, I keep giving them answers, and then it's like, well, just say you're venting, then I know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm over here being like, how do I help her? Like, yep. Now that we're dating, like, there's some urge, like, I've got to help you out of stuff.
Yeah, totally. It's,
right?
It's like, we are not that smart. Like, we're literal, you know? If you say there's a problem, I'm going to try to tell you how to solve that issue with your coworker. Like, don't talk to that bitch anymore. She ain't your best friend.
I got solutions, actions to take.
Dude, that's a great example, man. That's exactly what I always try to do. I'm, like, trying to fix it. And it's like, dude, just sit there.
Yeah, and if somebody just wants to be like, hey, man, I'm just bitching to bitch, like, all right, cool.
Yeah, no worries.
I will say on the same token, though, you know, if when you're trying to be better about cleaning up things out of your life, too, I read a good, or I didn't read it. I heard a guy giving the speech. But he was basically like sometimes with toxic people, it's like if Cobb has a problem and he's down about something, like I'm his friend. I'm going to listen to him and stuff. But if he's kind of a friend that just is always down in the dumps and always has, like after a while, it's like that's not a unique problem. That's just kind of him. And he's just kind of like, then he becomes kind of a toxic person in my life, as opposed to just somebody going through something that you're trying to help.
Yeah. And I think I think a really great trait that everyone can like, you know, master for themselves is like making yourself light to lift. You know what I mean? Like when people are in a room and it's just like, they're just dragging everybody down. And like, it's always like a negative comment or whatever. It's just like, oh, like, dude, I just don't even want to deal with it, versus being like pretty easygoing and generally cheerful. Like that's like one of the simplest things you can do to have people like to have way more friends or to have people like you at work or whatever. It's just like, don't be a like super like negative drag all the time. Yeah. Just making yourself light to lift, man. I feel like that's served wonders in my life. Even if I'm upset, like not bitching about it.
Yeah. And trust me, I like a good vent session. Like I'm not against that.
Yeah, and totally. But your general disposition is positive.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you know, like, sometimes too, like, you know, and granted, social media is a huge part of this now, but if you're always just looking at what others have, I don't know what the hell is going on upstairs. That is a lot of noise.
Yep. Welcome to every night of my life.
Jesus.
They do wrestling match on the overnights.
Yeah, what do they do up there?
Cage match up
there? I have no idea. Then we got
somebody's
our floors
got
getting
slammed.
Dead. So last night it was real loud because there's machines going in here and up there while I'm trying to do a radio show right there.
Yeah, I like the new carpet, boys.
That's fun.
Yeah. I kind of lost my train of thought there. We're talking about people. I don't know.
I had something to say, too.
We were talking about people listening.
Oh, venting. You were talking about you love a good vent session. I was going to say, like, yeah, I like to, when I'm venting with people, I like to keep coming back to possible solutions as much as possible. Not like we got to take them now. And I know that's my own personal disposition and not everybody's that way. But Yeah, I like to have friends that bounce ideas off me. You know what I mean? As opposed to just like let me spiral in my own negativity.
Wait, hold on. You lost me at the last minute. Why would you be spiraling?
If I'm just venting and I'm just like, just being super negative and somebody's just like cheering me on and being like, yeah, fuck that person, fuck that, this and that, you know, like then I feel like I'm just wallowing at a certain point. And I'd rather have somebody be like, yeah, I hear you, like, you could do this about it, or like, what do you think you're going to do about it? Or,
yeah, and
you
that's,
know what I mean? Like,
right.
These are your options. You don't need to, you know, if you do choose this, this is something that might happen. If you choose that, that's something that might happen. And just like pointing out the, again, back to the like, logic side of the male brain, just keeping it in the realm of improving the situation helps me feel like I'm, you know, being productive about it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier too, about like comparing yourself to others. You know what I mean? Like, why does this person have this and I don't? Or, you know what I mean? Even, I mean, I know people close to me that even were like, I had to get off Facebook. Like, I somehow like was turning me into a jealous person.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram. I mean, that's like, that's what's happening to a lot of people. And what's weird is like the piece of that is like you only see one little abstract clip. Like obviously it's everyone's highlight reel, but also like you don't know about all the other stuff going on in their life. And I feel like over the long term, like having not been on social media for a while, probably like a year-ish, like over the long term, you start to see like you didn't know the full story. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like a great example, dude, a great example is Oprah Winfrey. So Oprah Winfrey, she seems like she has everything. She's a billionaire, right? She's got her own magazine, her own network, whatever.
She's Oprah.
Yeah. But the thing is, like her like purpose in life, she originally thought was she always really, really, really wanted to be a mom. And she never got into a relationship that would work with, never had a kid. And so she was like in this really like super negative mindset in like the late 80s, early 90s, and because she was just like, my life dream is shattered. And so like nobody gets everything. And what she changed her mind to focus on basically like, I get to help all these people and treat them as if they were my children. But like nobody gets everything, man. And so you only see, you see her on like some giant TV show or doing her, you know, radio show or whatever, like her podcast or something, and you're just like, man, like Oprah's got it all. She's a billionaire, but it's like she doesn't have like the one thing she truly wanted, you know, which is a child. And so I don't know, man, I just think it's a really good reminder that like, yeah, that there's more going on than you probably, you know, there's more going on than you see.
Yeah, 100%.
I never knew that about Oprah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what some of her favorite fried chicken is?
Wait, is it the place where Tupac works in Maryland?
No, Ezel's.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Talking about Cluck You?
Yeah, and also I'm still boycotting Ezel's. Holler at Heaven Sent. They stole the man's name, Ted.
I know, it is crazy. They still call it Ezel's, and Ezel had to go open his own place called Heaven Sent.
By
I wonder, because I heard Oprah liked Ezel's years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I would assume that was back when Ezel was still running Ezel's. I wonder if she's followed him over to Heaven Sent, or if she's still just, like, buying the brand, the sign.
Maybe Oprah doesn't know.
Her, like, she seems Oprah's pretty favorite woke. Things has become, like, its own category. Like, now she does, like, 30 or 40 of them, and they, like, all sell out every Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And there's some crazy...
Like, where before, it was just, like, she'd randomly suggest something. Now it's, like, a
thing they do. So you're saying we could look that up?
I'm saying that it has become a, like, probably $100 million business on its own, the things she chooses each year to love.
Well, then... I mean, hopefully she knows the story behind Ezel's and Heaven Sent, and sounds like her opinion, if it was a pro-Heaven Sent one, could really turn things around for old Ezel back there.
Yeah.
You guys ever heard of...
The artist formerly known as Ezel.
Crispy, crunchy chicken?
No.
Crispy, crunchy chicken?
Yeah, I guess they're like in gas stations or whatever, but supposedly it's supposed to be some of the best fried chicken you'll ever have.
Have you been to that gas station taco place by your house yet?
The one in the...
I don't want to say the name of it.
In the bodega?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That taco spot's great.
It's fire. Nice.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you'd eaten there yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've only been in there a couple
times. We got a taco spot in the bodega in Ballard that I got to check out.
Yeah, I forget the name of the taco stand, but just the Denny Market. Like, the little taco stand they opened up in there is great.
Okay, so here's a good example of what we were talking about before, where you live off the grid for too long and, you know, you don't really integrate well with society. So I was going to go on a date with this girl, and it wasn't like a date. Like, this is someone I know I've slept with in the past, like an old friend, right? And And she was like, hey, let's get tacos. And I was like, great, I know a great spot because I've been wanting to try Carmelo's.
That's the name of it.
The thing is, it's in a gas station. Well, they didn't even have gas.
No, it's a bodega.
It's in a bodega. It's just like a little corner of it. It's kind of sectioned off. But everything I've heard is that the tacos are incredible. Obviously, like, they're pretty cheap tacos and whatever, so I didn't really think it was a big deal. But we meet up, and she's like, yeah, I really want a margarita. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't think they're going to have that at Carmelo's. Continue walking towards Carmelo's. She's like, well, I really, like, want something to drink. I'm like, still don't get the message. I'm like, you know, we could go to, what's that other taco spot? Not La Isla, on Broadway.
Tacos
Chuggies. The one you and I went to. Yeah. I was like, oh, we could go to Tacos Chuggies. She's like, I don't think they'd have, also a cheap taco spot. She's like, I don't think they'd have margaritas. And she's like, oh, and like I finally was like she threw out, she like suggested Paquitos, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, we can go there. So $60 later, anyway.
You get free chips and salsa.
But
there?
Like, it just didn't seem weird to me. No, they do not have free chips and salsa.
They charge you for them.
Oh yeah,
that's becoming a lot more common.
Really, it wouldn't seem that weird to me if like the three of us were going out. But I don't know, if I was going out with a girl, I'd assume she might want a drink.
Yeah, I just like I didn't think of it as. I didn't think of it as a date. I thought of it like we were meeting to hook up. And
all right.
Was just like,
oh, you just need a fuel.
Yeah, and I was just like, let's just, yeah, exactly. Like, it's an athletic event with this girl, I will say that. But like, so that's why I was like, let's grab some tacos, whatever. Cool. But I didn't really think of like, oh, yeah, you can't just like drag a beautiful girl into some gas station to get her tacos, you know? Yeah, but I didn't really think about it because I was just like, whatever. Like, we know each other. She likes tacos. I like tacos. I've heard these tacos are bomb. It's a cool hipster spot. Like, no, young man. No. So anyway, still single. Happening.
Oh man, that is awesome. Let's see. I wanted to also for Kennedy. All right, so right now, listen and learn. But do you guys have other ideas? Also, I wanted to give a special thank you to Michelle, the Reverend Fuego's wife. She hooked us up with a ton of great food for Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to say thank you to Michelle specifically.
Oh. Can we do one for her?
U.S. Egg. U.S. Egg. U.S. Egg. U.S. Egg. U.S. Egg.
Nice.
God, those things are so Michelle. Good.
Thanks, those were bomb.
Yeah.
What did you... Oh, themes for the year? No, but I will say, I like Listen and Learn, actually. I was expecting not to like whatever you had written down, but...
Thanks, dude.
Well, no, I don't know. I feel like you were going to throw something, and it's going to be like some weird dance where we're like, maybe we could guide it a little, massage it a little bit to be whatever, like something else. But what I will say is I've been feeling that 2019 energy. And so like I'm about that as like a, you know, an undercurrent for my year. It's sort of similar to big dick energy, but having never experienced that, I just feel like it's the same type of, you know, amorphous energy field that's affecting us. So yeah, the other thing is I feel like...
How is big dick energy? How is BDE? How is that not, like, on the other side of Me Too?
I don't know that they're in the same arena.
I'm just saying, it, like, some of the stuff, like, it's tough, because you can't really talk about this stuff too much, but that one seemed crazy odd to me, that everybody's just going on the internet talking about these dudes' penises. Like you can't do that on the other side. Like, I don't know, that one just seemed very aggressive.
I think because it's a... Well,
and also, to be honest with you, as somebody who does not have a huge crank, it's kind of like, too, like, so now Pete Davidson's just defined by his penis? Like, maybe, I mean, this is crazy. Maybe he's actually funny and entertaining, and that's why these chicks like him, too.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying that, as it relates to the Me Too movement, are you saying that these guys are being harassed? Or are you saying that if you were to talk about a woman in the same way, that it would be viewed poorly?
I think... Kind of both. I think if you talked about a woman in the same view, it would be, or same way, it would be viewed poorly. Like, oh, like, that's just BT energy. Like, big, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, I don't know. The BDE one just always kind of bugged me. Like, see, you know.
I see what you're saying. I think because it's viewed generally as a pretty benign, like, positive, you know, sort of upbeat and surface level thing. It's like very like sort of like cheerful and positive. Like, oh yeah, man, it's got that big energy. It's like kind of like fun and cheery. It keeps a little light, and it's also something that it is weird that it kind of like bled over into the mainstream. But I assume that'd be like the type of thing that women would talk about behind closed doors in the same way that guys would be like, oh man, great rack. It's like, okay, it's kind of like a sexist comment, sort of. It's sort of a throwaway comment, and like no woman is going to be like upset. Well, actually, there'd be some, but you know what I mean? Like, it's generally like, that's a positive thing to say about someone. Did I say big or great?
The difference is, I don't remember, but...
Great. That's what I mean.
With You can generally tell a little bit more about a girl's chest situation just by looking at her than you can about what a guy's working with downstairs. That's a little bit more private. That's like if we were walking around talking about, you know, how different girls taste.
Tight badge energy.
Yeah, that's why I said TPE.
Dude, don't look at me like that, dude. You're talking about raw dog and celery, man. You said that multiple times.
God damn, man. Did you see last week there was a recall on, a recall on some condoms?
No.
Uh-oh.
Like Durex. I forget which ones they were or whatever. But literally Stephen Colbert on his show was like, so they put out a press release at first said, the hell with that. Everybody know raw dog is the best. No, that's not actually what they said. I was like, damn.
Accurate. Accurate.
Yeah, and that one I stole from Matt. But when you talk about raw dog and vegetables, the reaction you get out of people, like, what are you doing? Just like, no, there's no dressing on them. I'm just eating them to eat them.
Every time you've said it, it's like gotten like a visceral reaction.
I just started a new group of nutrition clients for 2019. Super excited. Most of them are dudes because that's who I was targeting as people that I wanted to work with. I did end up with one older female that I was talking to on the phone yesterday, and I was like hipping her to ranch or yogurt based ranch dressing because it's like super delicious and way less calories. And I was like, it's just so great to put on your vegetables. And as a guy that talks to a lot of guys on the phone and works with them, it's like, you know, by the end, I'm not asking you to raw dog this stuff right now. And I like had to stop myself from going down that path.
It's raw dog and celery, dude.
You can use regular ranch if you want. I'm just saying that's a good tip to get you started.
2019, you get out there and you raw dog that celery.
We're getting healthy as
I want you to bring that energy.
Okay. All right. So right now we'll stick with the listen and learn. You guys can also please feel free to email in the next couple weeks.
Totally. You're as much a part of this as we are.
Yeah, it'll take February or something until we finally nail one down. Also, if you've ever stayed at the McMinimins, I stayed up at that Anderson school this past weekend.
Oh, yeah, dude, you were talking about that.
It was awesome. I used the heated pool twice, which
is heated?
It's heated, but it's open air.
Yeah, they have the thing at the end to open out to the outside, right?
Yeah, I didn't really. So when we first
saw water.
Yeah, right. You'd kind of told me about it. I just wasn't paying attention. I was listening. I wasn't hearing you.
That's what I'm talking about, Ted. See, our relationship already closer.
But we get in there and we went in. First time we went in was in the afternoon, right? Like 3 o'clock. So obviously it's filled with like children. But we notice all the adults are still wearing like jackets, like on the pool deck. I'm like, that's weird. And then we're like, oh, it's open air. So then from like 11 to 12 at night, if you're staying at the hotel, you can go back in, like all the local kids aren't in there. But then that was basically just us three drunk adults and the kid, like the teenager working. I was finally like, are you literally just waiting for us to get out of the pool? And he's like, yeah. I was like, you know what, dude? We'll get out. We got to get back up to the tiki bar anyhow and get some more rumber or jungle birds.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Did you do the tiki bar?
We did every bar. We went out to the shed. Yes. We did the tiki bar. We had two dinner reservations that we canceled and ended up just eating in the whatever like the main kind of bar with shuffleboard stuff is. Yeah. But it's great. And Saturday was so nice. By the evening time, we were just sitting outside by the fire pits.
Was it busy?
I was surprised Saturday night. Like the main bar got pretty busy.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, you can tell.
People were worried about that place.
Oh, really?
Well, not worried, but like I heard people saying like, yeah, it's just so big. Like, I don't know how they're paying the bills. So.
Oh, no. Like the bars were crowded.
Good. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And you could tell like people from the neighborhood come down too.
Sweet. Yeah.
I'm really glad to hear that. I don't remember the guy's name, but I got to tell you about one of the weird interactions. So you ever meet somebody in a bar who's like, they're talking to you and they're being nice, but it's almost like you're kind of like, what's this guy's deal? You know what I mean?
Talk about when they're saying really surface level stuff or when physically they look like they're just hammered and don't even
know. No, when they're saying just like, hey, great to meet you. Like, what do you guys do? How do you like?
Oh, almost.
Right?
Like they're about to sell you insurance?
Yeah, it was just a weird interaction. And the guy was like, he's looking at me and my buddy Rob. You guys know each other growing up playing like baseball or football? And I just kind of go, no, we know each other from boxing. And he kind of like stops and then he just goes into basically he's just kind of railroading so he can start talking. And then he introduces us to his buddy, who for better, we'll just call Ted Smith. And the guy's like, says his name and I just go, oh, I'm sorry, man, I didn't catch your name. And he's like, all right, you're right, it's me, Ted Smith, pitched for the Mariners for 3 years. Like, I have no idea who you are, dude. Like, I was just asking physically what the fuck your name is again.
Oh. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, the whole interaction. That's when we went out to the fire pits.
I hope so badly it was Mike Blowers.
I don't know who. It was just.
Not once if it was Mike Blowers.
No, I didn't.
Was it the sheriff, Norm Charlton? Don't blink at me, man. I don't know what that means.
It was just a weird interaction, man. But that hotel's great. They have, like, the rooms are huge and stuff. And, like, the pool's cool. The tiki bar, like, if you're looking for, like, a staycation, you got to be, like, stay at one of the, like, I want to go travel to the other McMenamins now.
That's an old high school.
Yeah. And then, right. So Joe's sister went there. You used to swim there.
Yeah.
And then another friend of ours from Oregon, randomly, I was there Saturday night. And Sunday, she was like, hey, you ever thought about going to a McMenamins? And I'm like, I would love to. I just left one. So I thought thought it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Food was good?
Yeah, I just got like a Reuben. I mean, they're famous for their tots.
Yeah, great. They used to have one over in Fremont. I used to get their tots all the time.
Yeah, so they're pretty famous for that. And then, yeah, the beers are good and stuff. It was just a cool thing. I'd never stayed at one of them. I was like, all right, I just love, you know me too. Like, I love being at home. Like, I like going to bars, but I always want to sneak back home. It was so nice to be like, everything's right here. Like, oh, you got to take a poop? Run up to your room and poop. Come back.
Have we ever been out in Portland together?
No.
Home and McMenamins? Man, yeah, that'd be fun at some point. We should try to make it down there in the next 5-6 years.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I like your realistic time frames.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's like, look, dude, we're not going this week.
We're not right. Like, I'm not going to Portland. Like, I'm probably not going to Portland this year.
Yeah.
That's the thing I've realized as you get older. Like, I basically almost have every vacation day scheduled out already.
Damn.
And it's January.
The man knows what he likes.
Yeah.
You do get, that is one thing actually I really like about getting older is you get to know yourself a lot better. And I feel like you know pretty quickly what you like and don't like. And maybe sometimes people feel like that hurts you in the dating scene because you're not as open as you otherwise should be. But it's really nice in the, like, self-care scene, you know? Like, you know it's going to make you feel better.
That's the other thing. I was kind of giving our other buddy a hard time, but I was like, this is going to be the year of, like, Salesman Ted giving out quick no's. You know what I mean? Like, I like festivals and stuff, but, like Joe, Slow Joe from The Wolf was like, hey, man, I know we only hung out a couple times, but you're into festivals. Like, are you going to Dead & Company? I was just like, no. Like, I'm not going to mess around and then be like, oh, you know, like, I don't like the Dead that much.
People,
you know what? I shouldn't say that. I don't know the Dead that much. So then there was something else like, oh, we should totally do this. And I'm just like, 2019, I'm just going to say no. It's like, if I'm not super into it, I'm not doing it.
Dude, it's fine. I was having that same conversation with Tyler last night. She was like, I'm just going to start like saying no to stuff I don't want to do in general. And I was like, all right. Power to the people.
Yeah, and also, like, I respect, like, Cobb, you're always pretty good about being like, oh, I'm a low percentage chance or whatever.
I try to give an honest percentage.
Right, because sometimes I just get fired up, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I've done it to Matt, I know I've done it to Taryn, they're just like, oh, we should go to this too, and I'm like, yeah, we'll go to that. And then it's like, when it's getting close to the event, it's like, I don't know that band, I'm not going.
Well, I'm a dreamer and a doer over here who, like, likes to run at a million miles a second, so I'm definitely the guy that ropes people into inauthentic. Yeah, sure, man, of course. And then there was a time in my life where I got pissed at people for doing that. And I was like, fuck you, man.
The roping or the bailing?
The bailing. Like, why'd you say that? You know what I mean? And, like, it took me a while to realize, like, yeah, I'm just a guy who does a ton of stuff, always wants to do more stuff, always has more ideas for stuff to do, runs his mouth about all of it, and, like, people get excited about it because I'm an excitable guy and say they're going to do stuff, and... You know, if they don't, you know, I don't need to hold it against them. Like, at a certain point, if it becomes a pattern, you're a boring person, you know, I don't know how much time we're going to spend together because I run at a different RPM on average, you know. But, yeah, there was definitely some, like, taking it personal when people didn't want to do the same stuff as me at the levels that I like to do them.
And when was that? You're saying that was, like, a couple years ago?
Early 20s.
Mm. Yeah, and I've gotten in trouble too before too. Like I've run into it in relationships. Well, you said we do this. Like I don't know, man. I was all fired up.
I was talking crazy,
right?
Anything I say while I'm naked cannot be used against me.
Oh, no, right. Nothing. Yeah, come on.
I would have said anything in there.
I'm just kidding. All right, God, let's read some emails.
It got weird. Okay. Looking forward to this year's first podcast from the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Been an avid listener for 2 years now. May have read that one last week.
All right.
Hey, boys. Talking about Imagine Dragons, I can't stand that band. Good on them for following their dreams and having success, but I feel like people who listen to bands like that listen to what they're told to listen to and stop there. Sorry, I know this is a KASW affiliate, LOL. It's hard to say whether people are jealous for a measure of success certain people have, or because of the success, something you may not think about normally and don't like is thrown in your face. Every commercial, every radio station. Just my two cents. No music is bad or good. It's all an opinion.
He is right, but again, that... I mean, Imagine Dragons, like their first couple songs, honestly, just were so big that everybody played them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't... There is definitely bands that, you know what I mean, that, the you know, like, it's better if they're promoted. You know, and record companies promote certain bands, but honestly, that Imagine Dragons, their first couple songs just got so big, like, every station was like, all right, I guess we'll just add it.
Yeah.
What else was like that? Remember that Congos song?
Still play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that... Sail by AWOL Nation.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots.
And it's like, yeah, I get it, you know, because I understand the business side of it. I understand what we're trying to do here, right? Like, we heard one of those bands, I don't even remember which one, this weekend on 107.7 The End, and someone was like, it just sounds better when they're on The End. And I was like, I mean, it fits a little bit more, but I understand why we're doing it, because I work for KISW, and, like, I understand... the other side of it that, you know, people, I always say, like, people can change the station. It's our job to try and, like, get you to stay on the station.
Stay in, yeah.
Let us do our job. You do whatever the fuck you want. It's fine. Like, and sometimes our job involves some of those bands that started on The End and just became completely massive.
Yeah.
You know, and we've always done that. Like, I don't know how much we play the Black Keys, but they started out on
I
the
love
end,
the Black Keys.
Right?
I always thought of them as a rock. It's weird.
Arctic
too.
Monkeys, Royal Blood came from over there. So, like, yeah.
It's weird, too, because you got to think of, like, genres change, right? So there's stuff now that you hear on rap stations that you never would have heard. And there's stuff, like, I mean, there's certain bands, like, we play Zeppelin all the time, but a lot of Zeppelin stuff really doesn't rock. Like, it's kind of slow. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but because they're the, like, one of the greatest rock bands of all time. You don't really think about it that way. You're just like, of course, it's Zeppelin. But you know what I mean? Like, if you heard Stairway now, you'd be like, well, like, that's not rock.
Yeah, totally. And there's some, yeah, there was a lot to tackle there. But yeah, some things, like, hold their value over time. And some things, like, some of the early rap stuff is awesome. And other things, the early rap stuff, you're like, this is so basic. This is what a high schooler would rap now, you know?
Yeah.
In terms of the beats and stuff. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. As far as the station or Imagine Dragons, I can see why people think it doesn't fit on KSW. But that's like that's the push and pull of things that are popular. Like Top 20 is a good example. The Cheesecake Factory is a good example. Like, is it massive because it's really good and people like it? Or, like, is it massive because there's, like, you know, it's just like the lowest common denominator that everyone can agree is pretty good, like Bud Light?
I don't know. I mean, I drink light beers. Like, I like light beers.
Me too.
Yeah.
Shout out to Miller Lite.
Yeah, so I don't know. Cheesecake Factory, just thinking about those little Southwestern egg rolls right now.
I'm still thinking about Mexi fries from when you guys brought up the Tots and McMinimins.
All right, I'm with you guys, but, like, Chili's is hated, or TGI Friday or whatever. Like, you know, fill in Applebee's if you want. But massive. Yeah. It's huge.
Sure. Yeah, some of them, right. Some of them are just, right, they're on every corner. You know, I don't know, that's a tough question. Like, so, right, do people really like it, or is it just convenience because it's there?
Yeah, dude, I've been trying to think of, like, the name for, like, a theory that involves how that happens in society. I think we talked about it on the podcast a while ago, but basically how we end up with, like, the gray slurry of whatever is in between. Like, we don't get the absolute best of any category, but we get, like, pretty good as crowdsourced by people of every category. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there is some, like, country singer in a bar in Nashville who is better than, what the hell is that girl's name?
Taylor Swift.
Thank you, Taylor Swift. But, you know, like, we're never going to hear that girl because she's not as marketable and, like, she's not the whole package, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, as young, like, maybe she's a little older or whatever. And so that's the thing. Like, we also, like, the Cheesecake Factory or McDonald's, like, everyone knows it's not the best food in the world. But, like, Cheesecake Factory will work, you know, for, like, that date or whatever. And so that's what I wonder about is, like, how much – so – overall, we get, like, really good in almost every category because people over time filter it out. But, like, how rare is it to get, like, the best in each category, which we could, but it's not as palatable across the spectrum, you know, for the masses. And so I was trying to come up with like a name for a theory like that, where we like get, you know, we get something that's like 70% as good as it could be, but like almost nothing we touch is like made by a single guy who's like the best in the world at making it, you know?
No, I will say this though. Music can sometimes be different, because sometimes even if there's a label pushing a band or something, like there's just some songs that are just, they're popular because it's popular.
Yeah, just like taps into a vibration. I know
what
you mean.
Nobody's like pushing, that's what I'm saying. Like some of these bands we're talking about here, like nobody said, oh, we got to make this song so that it can go across. It just was.
Electric Avenue.
And everybody was like, we love this song.
We gonna rock down.
I hate.
No? All right. I guess someone likes it.
Have you read, I think it was The Power of Habit. Have you read that book?
No.
Robert Duhigg.
Has a circle on the front?
Yeah, it's like yellow. I think they talked about how like Hey Ya became a hit because somebody at a label or a radio station like decided to give it to the people enough until they adapted to it because it was so different.
Yeah.
Like somebody was like, this is really good, really catchy, really unique, but because it's so different, people are going to fucking hate it right at first. And they had to play it enough times that it caught on, as it were, and then it became like one of the biggest songs of that decade. Can't remember if it was actually The Power of Habit. I read like a bunch of books when I first started getting into personal training that were recommended to me, but it was in one of those. And
that's the story with Vanilla Ice too, right? Like Vanilla Ice, his record label, I forget which song it was, and then back in the day, some DJ in Houston flipped it over, and Ice Ice Baby was on the B-side, and he was like, well, let me try this one. And then people were like, oh, we really like that song. Like, play it again.
That's the thing. Like, there is a weird, like, with music, you're right, it is a little different. There is that weird, like, vibration that sometimes, like, a song just hits and, like, universal appeal. Everyone's like, that's just a good cover.
Well, would you bring up Hey Ya? Like, I can, like, I remember that summer. Because I think it's the same summer that Yeah comes out by Usher, right? And, like, I'm in DB's little 3-series Beamer. And, like, I remember listening to Yeah from Usher. And, I mean, we would literally just drive around Towson and Baltimore so that we could keep playing it, like, over and over and over. But yeah. That song you knew was a hit.
Yeah.
Usher was on to something there, boy.
Dude, that's one of our last cultural holdouts, actually, in terms of we were talking about having common ground between people with the NFL. Like, one thing that the whole city kind of stops and watches. Not everybody, of course, people aren't into sports, but you know what I mean. Like, a nice cultural touch point. Well, I do feel like we still more or less have a pretty clear, like, song of summer. You know, like, maybe there's two, maybe there's three, but generally speaking, like, everyone's kind of on the same page for the summer song that year.
Yeah. What was that? 2 years ago, I called it.
What was it?
DJ Khaled and Bieber and...
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think the last...
Quavo.
And when you hear it, you just know. You're like, that's the song of
like
the summer.
That's the song of the summer.
Like,
right,
everyone
there
knows, you know?
It's like, the last time that I, like, knew, oh, it's summer, and I know what the song of summer was not Thrift Shop, Can't Hold Us by Matt Homore.
Yeah.
That summer, I was like, that's the song of summer. Every other summer since, and like pretty much most of them before, since I was a kid, I just haven't even, you know, I spent one summer just listening to the first four Black Sabbath albums exclusively, like anytime I had control over my music, because I just thought like, man, in like 72 or whatever it would have been, there was people who like, this was it. And it was so good, and they were so happy about it. Like, can I drown out all the noise of what's come since then and just put myself in that place? And thanks to Spotify, I did. I plugged it into my aux cord in my car all the time. So it wasn't the most authentic, but it worked. And it was, those albums are fucking masterpieces, but...
Let me get that aux cord.
Yeah.
Well, dude, and you tapped into a good thing right there, too, like having reverence and celebrating the past while also like appreciating and embracing the future, especially when it comes to music.
That was the summer I went to Meltdown for the first time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Strong summer.
Yeah.
Basically Black Sabbath. Hey, guys, from the best cast in all the land.
All the land.
Guys, I just got home from the 1 o'clock Monster Jam at the Taco Dome. I bought tickets for my grandson, daughter, and her husband, and myself as well back in November for grandson's third birthday. What? The monster? Oh, is Monster Jam the monster trucks?
Yeah.
I think so. It was great figure there. At the
Tacoma Dome. I love those commercials.
Mike Hawk went.
He did?
He did.
Oh, bitch, that sounds so cool. Have you guys ever been to one?
Nope.
No. I never have.
Maybe to?
Next 5 years.
Next four.
Yeah. You know, we'll go to Portland to see one.
That would be. Did they do them down there?
I feel like they got to.
I'm just talking shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I feel like they run on vegetable oil down there. Probably be less impressive. We arrived early and got food and merch. National anthem comes on, and my grandson says, "Papa, I have to poop. Hurry!" So I was like, "God damn it! Okay, let's go." I picked him up and headed to the stairs, saying, "Sorry, he's got to poop." This jackass puts his elbow in me and says, "It's the national anthem," while I almost fell on the seats holding my grandson. I caught my balance and grabbed the guy by the back of the head and sat him in his seat, and he said, "He's got to poop." When returning to my seat, security was there. They asked what happened, and I explained. They escorted dude and family to either different seats or out of the building. I don't know where... we were left alone. But I feel bad I had to use such action while holding a three-year-old. Did I do the right thing? What would the best cast on the land do? Thanks, guys. Love all of you.
Ooh.
I mean, I can't believe the guy put his, like, elbowed you because you're going, you know what I mean? Like, I get reverence for the national anthem, but come on. Like, he's got a child.
Yeah.
Like, obviously he's going somewhere with the grandson.
Yeah, I think somebody puts a hand on me, you know, I might have done the same thing. And I feel like if I had a real paternal instinct, right, like if I had a child that was mine or a grandchild that was mine in my hands, I'd be an extra, like, protector, fuck you mode. And, yeah, likely do the exact same thing. I think he handled it well.
I really could see myself going on two divergent paths depending on how much of a rush I was in. Like, I could see myself just shooting a super dirty glance over my shoulder and continuing to walk, or I could totally see myself jacking that dude in the face.
Yeah, I'm saying frankly, that guy's just an idiot.
Like, a sharp elbow, I'd have been like, dude, fuck you. You have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and that guy's just being... That's just being extra. Just over the top. Like, dude, it's a national anthem. Like, relax. He's not making a statement. He's taking a child to the damn bathroom, you idiot.
Yeah, it's not like trying to disrespect the flag or anything. It's like...
Yeah.
And, like, you sat him down. You put him in his place. You didn't punch him in the face and knock him out and turn it into a whole thing. Like, I think that was a pretty solid, assertive move.
Yeah.
Also kind of a bizarre move considering everyone stands for the national anthem. He's like, sit down.
You sit down.
Yeah, it's like now you have to deal with the shame. Yeah. I don't know, that's weird. Yeah, that's a weird one, man. That's one of those weird interactions. Ted, I feel like you have a lot of those. I know I have a lot of those where you're just like, what just happened here? Like, there's no way to, like, there's no storyline. You're just like, I'm just going to pick up the pieces of my life and walk away.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that just seems like, I can't imagine, like, just the thought process going through that guy's head, like, I have to use the bathroom, right? Like, you're just like, all right, I got to take this kid to the bathroom. Like, you would never think, like, and then this guy elbowing you.
Like, to the ribs? That catches you off guard. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's lucky, like, he didn't just reflexively punch him in the face.
That's what I'm saying. It's, I could totally see myself doing that.
Yeah.
I'm very rare for physical violence.
Yeah, but, like, that's totally one of those things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, gut reaction, turn and jack him.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, dude, sorry, I did not mean to, you know.
Right, like, punching him in the face, you know, you wouldn't want to do that because of the child there. It might also be an overreaction without the child, but justified, like, understandable. But yeah, I think just sitting him down like that is just like a super awesome alpha move. Like,
Yeah, bizarre, but definitely alpha.
Like, that kid's going to know how to handle himself.
Yeah.
I like that we got granddads listening.
Kid's not going to take any shit.
Hello to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I wanted to weigh in on the waffle pancake debate, and I have to say, I prefer pancakes over waffles.
What?
My man. I agree 100% with Cobb. Waffles are the fancy breakfast. Pancakes, the trusted friend. My reasoning is, firstly, I make my pancakes from scratch, and I've mastered cooking them to the point that you can spread butter and maple syrup on it and it not get soggy. Also, have you tried evenly spreading butter on a waffle? Yeah, fuck that noise.
Oh.
Keep making the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
D-Rock from Everett. P.S. Mantra for 2019, own it.
Own it.
Ah! That's not bad either.
I like the accountability there.
Yeah.
Man, he makes a good point about the waffle and the butter spreading, but in that case, you just double down on the butter, and, like, if you didn't get enough in the one square, it's just an excuse to put more in there.
Yeah.
Like, that dilemma always leads me to put more butter on the waffle, which is always an awesome outcome when I'm eating waffles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people know where I stand.
I mean, don't eat butter, you'll get fat. It's the devil.
I still can't believe I haven't had French toast yet.
Ever?
No, I just mean, like, I was supposed to get it at Christmas, but I didn't.
Oh,
I've been talking about it.
That's how I am with coffee right now. I've been like putting, I was gonna give myself one after like, you know, the first or whatever, but still, yeah.
So are you still caffeine free for?
Still caffeine free, bro. I'm coming up on 1 year.
Dude, that's what I did with alcohol. I kept thinking I was gonna go back at a certain point and just kept pushing it off.
Well, I did do one half cup at my friend's shop in Hawaii, but I planned that before I even got off the sauce because he opened a coffee shop and I knew I was, and he opened it 4 years ago and I kind of like, I don't want to say helped him through the process. We talked about it when he was opening. I'd never been to Hawaii. So I knew when we were going to that island, I was like, I'm going to go into his coffee shop.
Was it good?
You know, coffee, when you're not drinking it regularly, is pretty acrid. His was good. But in general.
Acrid?
Coffee, yeah, like kind of like acidy or like bitter almost.
Bitter.
Dude, yeah. I think I told you this, Ted. Sneak preview of what's Matt. And then Friday morning, I was picking up my, or Friday afternoon, I was picking up my girlfriend's car from the Firestone in Ballard because she was getting her brakes fixed, and I think they have the best coffee in all of Ballard right there in the little steel thermos with the pump on it in the waiting room of the tire shop.
Oh,
like, yeah, I was blown away. It was black coffee. I'd just woken up. I was like, I could use a little bit because they're small little styrofoam cups. Like, I was like, it's probably not going to be that great. It's just like tire shop waiting room coffee, you know, and a little cup worth, and I refilled it. I was like, this is great. I didn't put any sugar or cream or anything in it, and I was blown away. I've never had liked black coffee that much. I gotta go back and ask what it is and investigate further, but I was just blown away by that.
I don't know, I was picturing you walking in there one day shirtless, sleeveless, just all fired up. Hey man, what kind of beans you guys roasting in here? Like, sir, is your car here? No.
No.
I need to know about your coffee, though.
It's not about that.
Is that a Firestone bean?
I was thinking about waiting until the next time I needed an oil change, but it might be well worth a solo trip between now and then.
Get in there, man. Own it. 2019.
Yeah. All right, before we get to what's Matt in, real quick, my brother, they don't make Saturns anymore, but when they made Saturns, right, like, I don't know why they stopped making them.
Talk about the car?
Yeah, it was a good car. It ran. So the whole thing was like, if you remember the commercials, like when you bought one, like the whole team would be out there.
It ran.
Well, I'm just saying, like, my brothers ran forever. Like,
I like them.
I'm still not positive why you did. But they would all come out and be like, and like, see you drive off. So then my brother is like, hey, this one Saturday morning, can you take the Saturn over to the Saturn dealership? I need to get an oil change or whatever. And he goes, you're going to love it. There's like a whole spread of food and coffee and this and that. So I get in there and there's like half a measly donut. Like, I don't think I was drinking coffee, but there probably was no coffee. And every time he went, he claimed it was like this awesome thing. So I was like, did they know I wasn't actually an owner of a Saturn? So they were like, get the spread out or put it away.
Yeah.
Like, he's
they
on a real.
They send you into the
through door number two.
Yeah. All right. Let's check in with what's Mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's Mattening?
Before we get to what's Mattening.
Check out with what's Mattening.
Well, already led with the exciting coffee news from the weekend. some other stuff happened. Although, I forgot last week because a lot had happened. We hadn't been on in a long time. And over break, I just had the weirdest thing happen. So it was the week between Christmas and New Year's. So this is after Christmas.
Okay.
We were getting pho in an awesome little pho place in Fremont. And we're just at the table. Now, my girlfriend was not facing the door, and I was kind of facing the door. Like, the door's right there. And I'm just trying to enjoy pho. As you can imagine, I'm super fucking high for all of this. And in walks in just three middle-aged Asian women, very nice, very friendly, and they're holding instruments, and they announce that they're going to start doing carols for us for their church, and they just started singing Feliz Navidad out of nowhere after Christmas. I'm like, what is it? But they kept saying, I want to wish you a Happy New Year. They never said, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, but they're still singing Feliz Navidad, which means Happy Christmas in Spanish.
Happy Birth of Christ.
Yeah, so they were singing a Christmas song after Christmas, changing the lyrics to Happy New Year, so it worked, but I just lost it, and I was trying to play it cool and be respectful, but I burst out laughing. I tried to put my head down, but I was, well, you've seen Sal on Impractical Jokers. Like, yeah. you could just tell I was like shaking with laughter with my head down, and Tyler was looking right at me, and I tried to like be respectful and got my shit together, and then I looked back up, and then I started laughing again and had to look down at my bowl and just start stirring my stuff. And then they came up and asked for a donation, but I didn't have any money. But they finally left, and it was like the biggest sigh of relief. And Tyler had no idea what happened. Like, she just like heard stuff and didn't see it at all. But when I saw them walk in, I didn't think anything. And then they just start like hitting the jingle bell and, you know, like, we're going to do this. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I just thought that in itself was funny. And I started laughing on my own. And then once they started singing, it was like all bets are off. I could not contain myself. So I don't know. I just thought, like, I got to tell my friends about that.
That reminds me of that guy trying to sell us CDs in Meltdown.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Good rapper.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I was over in the alley. I missed a lot of that.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, I snaked out of that, but I was like on the outskirts. I think I was playing a game of crib on the outskirts of that happening. Lucky. So I was able to observe all the uncomfortableness, but not be directly involved.
I just walked away.
It's a good move. You're really good at that. You were really good about, like,
really?
Just getting out of those situations with just a confident walk away.
Like, I'm not paid enough to deal with this.
I've seen myself, yeah, I've caught myself in situations where I was like, what's going on here? Wait, where'd Cobb go? How did he get out of this situation?
Yeah, I've also had some weird walkaways, man. Like, I'll tell you about one off air with a mutual friend of ours.
Oh, cool. Can't wait. Yeah. Well, let me finish up then. The other highlight of the weekend was Saturday night. Got to go see Woodshed. Pumped to see him this Saturday at the Crocodile for the Bruiser Brody show.
Nice.
And Tara's birthday. But Saturday night, they were at the High Dive in Fremont. And I tried, is it fried catfish that's really good, Ted?
I like fried catfish.
I think that's what I tried. Not crawfish, right? Crawfish are more like...
Crawfish are just tiny.
Are good also.
Like shrimpy things though, right?
Yeah, like it would just be like the little tail.
Yeah, this was catfish.
All right.
They had some of that kind of outside the High Dive that these guys were making on the street.
No kidding. Really, fried catfish?
I really wanted a Euro, so I got a Euro, but I got the taste of catfish, and I wish I got the catfish from the start. But yeah.
I got that at Fats.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, so I was in a Euro mood, so I went, you know, trusted my instinct and got it. But you could smell the catfish when you walked up to the High Dive. And then Nathan Reno was like, oh, it's so good. And then I got to try it after I had my Euro because I just was like, I love Sinbad. Anyways, great night, great set.
I mean, I wouldn't be against putting some tzatziki on top of a piece of fried catfish.
Yeah.
I feel like together you could make... Something happened there.
Yeah. My girlfriend pointed out to you guys that I used to... You guys both know I used to think that was called tzatziki.
Tzatziki?
Yeah, I used to call it tzatziki. Yeah,
you told that story.
Yeah. I'm an idiot. But, yeah, so...
It's a tough word.
Yeah. So I went to check out Woodshed, got there early, and just hung out with them for a while. It was a ton of fun. They have a song called Woodshed, where he talks about getting high in the back of his van before the show. We got to go out to the van and smoke weed before the show. So it was really fun. Like,
I've smoked in that van.
Really? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people have. It's fun. But it was really cool to...
You have a van. I've smoked in it.
Not true.
I know.
You're looking at a man with a van.
So yeah, that was...
will be smoke.
You have a van?
We have a popcorn van.
Oh, okay.
/ Burning Man van.
Oh, really?
Possibly.
Okay. Yeah, so that was a great night. Afterwards, Lance came out, Nolan came out.
Oh, nice.
And one of our listeners who was at the podcast party, he had the big beard, his name's Justin. Mm-hmm. I've known him for a while through local shows. He's just a great guy that supports the scene and gets out there.
Yeah, Justin,
and,
of course.
Yeah, he has a ton of fun in the front row. Like, you know.
Is Justin not, I thought Justin was in some of those bands. Is he not in any of the bands? He's just always there.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. I was assumed, because I mean, I see him at every, not every show, but I see him all the time.
Yeah, he's a warrior. He's awesome. And I just knew him through shows. And then he'd like, he'd hit me with LARP ons occasionally. And I was like, wait, what? And yeah, so we got to hang out. And like I said, I've only really seen him in show context before. But after the show, we were all hanging out. And we, so Lance, Nolan, and Justin and I all went back to my place. We just hung out in the living room for a while, you know, under the lights, having a good time and just bro-ing down, man. Like, Justin's a cool dude. You know, obviously Lance and Nolan are awesome, and we were just all having a good time, having great talks. And it was a ton of fun. Eventually, we started watching Practical Jokers, and then next thing you know, it, like, the sun's out, and Tyler's coming home after spending the night in Tacoma. So it was like, oh, I guess it's a little late. Like, see you guys. But, yeah, it was an awesome time to get to, you know, hang out with Justin outside of that show context, which is how I know a lot of people from the scene. But I even said to him, I was like, hey, man, like, I know you think I'm a cool guy, and I appreciate that because I think you're a cool guy, but I hope that you have a new perspective for why I think I'm cool after hanging out with these two of my friends. You get to spend a night with me, Lance, and Nolan. Like, that's how I want to be remembered.
All right.
Like, those are just some awesome dudes that, like, you've said something like that to me. Like,
yeah.
Judge me by the company I keep. And I pretty much hit him with that, like, while we're outside smoking a spliff, like, cool guys. So, yeah, thanks for coming out, Justin. Awesome show, Woodshed, and see everyone this Saturday at the Crocodile.
I was going to say, I'm sure we'll see Justin on Saturday.
Yeah. You're going there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. His plan.
Bruiser Brody, Woodshed.
Oh, cool.
Last International.
All right.
Steve's or Migs's band.
Oh, dude, Bruiser hell yeah.
Glenn's in that band, and then obviously Woodshed.
Steve Migs.
Yeah, basically the Migs cast. The Migs cast band, Woodshed, and then Last International, which is a very good band that Steve's become friends with over the years.
That's where the Crocodile, did you say?
Yeah.
Dope.
So, all right, well, I guess it's about that time.
Boo, ba doo, ba doo, boo, boo. Cob topic.
Cob topic.
I'm torn. Do you guys want to go workplace or museum?
Museum.
Okay. A mysterious benefactor gives you five. Well, okay. In all fairness, I was outside the Asian Art Museum. They're redoing it up on Capitol Hill. By the way, if anyone is interested, the greenhouse up there is free until like February 15th, and it's really good. It's an Olmsted Brothers park, the same guys who did Central Park and Cal Anderson Park. And this greenhouse is beautiful. And you can go in there. And
where is it at?
It's on the top of Capitol Hill, that water tower. Volunteer
my
park.
Bet. Right by Volunteer Park, okay.
Bruce Lee's grave. And so you go into this greenhouse, and it's free right now because the guy who started Twitch is paying for it because his parents, like, I don't know, it's some weird thing. But anyway, take advantage because it used to be free all the time. So, but anyway, you go in there, and the right side is all desert plants, like really cool desert setup. And then on the left side, they have carnivorous plants, a.k.a. plants that eat stuff. And there's not just Venus flytraps. There's like dozens and dozens of different types. And then they have a bunch of orchids. It just like is really, really beautiful in there. So anyway, but with that being said, Asian Art Museum, they're changing it over and just thinking about like, all right, what are they going to put in there, whatever. So mysterious benefactor hits you with $5 to $10 million. You get to make a museum about anything you want, museum of your choice. What do you make a museum of?
Ooh.
Let's make it $20
million. Okay. Because I'm a businessman, and I also have a lot of passion for this, but it's a huge worldwide brand that generates a ton of revenue as is, and I think the fans would go crazy for a Fast and Furious museum.
Oh, did not see that coming.
That'd be fun. And
that's
I feel
not
like,
bad.
Yeah, I don't know if $20 million is enough. A lot of those cars are expensive. I don't know how much of the stuff's fake, so it's just like old set stuff sitting in a warehouse somewhere on Universal's lot or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how much money you'd need to make that happen, but like, you know, if there was a Fast and Furious pop-up museum somewhere, like, I'd be looking into plane tickets if it was outside Seattle.
That's the exact kind of answer I was looking for.
Good.
Dude, I think it would be a tailgating museum.
Ooh.
Like, okay, so like the section of on like games you play, the section of things you barbecue.
Or do you have it sorted out by conference?
No, I think part of it is just like some of the first tailgates, right? So like
early tailgating.
This will sound insane, but like one of the first battles of the Civil War, the Bull Run, right, down there in Northern Virginia, like, people drove down there and tailgated from the bluff above because they were like, oh, this will be cute. Like, there's going to be a little battle down here. Yeah, so, like, tailgating's, wild. Like, shown up, like, throughout stuff, right? Like, pretty sure the Romans used to always have parties before their stuff. So it would take you down, like, the history of tailgating and then, like, great inventions in tailgating, right? Like,
yeah. LSU invents, you know, beer pong or whatever.
Yeah, or, like, University of Michigan has the game you could play on the golf course or, you know what I mean? We find out, like, who was the guy that came up with washers, right? Or, like, who started cornhole, right? Mm-hmm. And there's, like, great games, you know, of, like, tailgating culture. Yeah. And at the end of the tour, like, there's a bar, so you can get, like, a beer and, like, play all the stupid games.
And the food there, you know, would be
right.
Killer.
And it's like the bar, you go through the whole museum, and then the end of it is a bar that's, like...
But it's the back of a bunch of cars?
Yeah, and it looks like asphalt. Yeah. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you want a table, you just literally get a tailgate, and you can, like, we give you your food, and you guys just sit there and eat it.
Dude, that'd be awesome. A couple games on, you know? Or no, there's, like, a stadium kind of built in the side. You're outside of it. You can just see the edge of the stadium. Like, every once in a while, like, fan noise kind of erupts.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, nice. Oh, the national anthem's on.
Yeah.
You gotta roll.
Like, something like that, right? You'd be like, but you know, it's like February, it's dark, it's been snowing on the East Coast, it's been raining here. Like, I want a tailgate, but well, there's nothing going on. Let's go to the tailgate museum.
Dude, I can see Chris being so into that.
Oh my God. Like, I never thought about this before, but this is not a bad idea.
The tailgate museum.
The tailgate museum.
There is an RV museum in the U.S. I've driven
that
past
doesn't
that.
Shock me.
Yeah, I remember my mind was being blown by that. Dude, for me, man, I don't really know. I would probably do, it'd be something weird. It'd be way too niche. Like, I'm almost thinking of, like, weird, like, ones about, like, you know, how they do, like, the layouts of retail stores throughout time, or, like, I think just, like, a story arc of how we got all of the modern, like, business formats, you know? Like, how Costco was really just, like, Price Club from California, but then they took the idea, changed a little bit, and added the membership. But now, so they added
Price Club was what we had when I was a kid.
Yeah, so they added the membership. Now Amazon uses the membership, and then Nordstrom's was known for service, and now Amazon's known for service. Like, Amazon's picked up little stuff of, like, all the best businesses, and that's how it always goes. Like, Walmart was picking up, like, the best stuff from Kmart and from, I don't know, whatever the other regional retailer was down there. And, like, that guy originally had Five and Dime stores. And so it's weird. Like, all the ideas in any discipline, really, you very rarely have, like, these giant leaps forward. You have, like, all these small little incremental steps, and everyone built on all the stuff that came before them. And so, I don't know. I think it'd be cool if you could show, like, all the modern-day companies and where they got, like, this management philosophy and this, you know, layout and this. Like, they use these colors because of this from this brand and whatever. Just be kind of cool. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm in, man. I want to go to all these museums.
Me too.
The Fast and Furious, the Tailgate Museum. We'll go to the business one to figure out how it all happened, and then we'll go have fun.
Yeah, and then we'll go actually enjoy ourselves.
Let's see. Saturday, if you're going to go see that Bruiser Brody show, that'll be awesome. If you see Taryn there, make sure you say happy birthday to her. Saturday will physically actually be her birthday. What else do we have going on? It's not. Yeah. It's wintertime.
2019, it's man.
Yeah. Right.
All's quiet.
Yeah. It's quiet. It's dark. There's no viaduct.
Yeah, it has been sunny. The weather, I got to say, as far as February
Hell
goes,
yeah.
This January's been crushing it in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to my mom. She got like 8 inches over the weekend. And I sent her a picture of me in an Uber going across the 520. And it's just like crystal glass, giant lake, like
sun-baked.
Oh.
Yeah. I was tanning in my apartment the other day.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. There's episode 245 for MCTP. For Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.